Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
That's on applications. You see, there's like, prefer not to say, non-binary. It's ridiculous. Genesis 1 says he created them male and female. Oh, people, stop trying to jack around with God's creation. Stop trying to mess up his order. It's ungodly. It's unbiblical. It's God-hating activity. Male and female. I'm amazed that I even have to say this. 10 years ago, if you told me that I would be saying this right now, I wouldn't have believed you. So man having the image or likeness of God, what does that mean? It means that we were made to resemble God. We're made to be like him. Now, mankind, we don't resemble God in terms of flesh and blood because God is spirit. God does not have a body. But the first man, Adam, Adam's body did resemble the life of God in the manner that Adam was created in perfect health. Adam was perfectly healthy. He didn't have back trouble like I do. He didn't have sciatica like I do. He didn't have get headaches and all these things. He was in perfect health. Adam was without sin, and therefore Adam was not subject to death in his original created form. Adam was perfect. He was sinless, and he was alive, just like God's image. Genesis 1 and 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Anna, you don't like eating oysters and fried fish. We're supposed to have dominion, so let's go have seafood after church today, okay? We have dominion. Okay. I know, and he put me in dominion over watermelon too, didn't he? Yeah, okay. I don't like watermelon. So this is how man was created, as a rational being. Rational. Humans were set apart from the animal world. We are not animals, okay? We've been set apart and we've been given dominion over the animal world. And the reason for mankind not being animals is so that we can commune with our Creator God. We have a mental likeness. We have a moral likeness. We have a social likeness that enables us to fellowship closely with God in ways that animals cannot. If you listen to unbelieving scientists and even some of the weird people out there that just carry on with wherever they get their imagination from, they categorize humans as animals. They say we're animals, that we evolved from the animal world over a long period of time. Friends, we did not develop because of evolution, because God says here in his infallible word that he made us in his image. God is not a primate. We were not derived from the image of a primate. We were made from our first day on earth in the likeness of God in his very own image. Do not try to tell me that I am the result of millions of years of evolution. Mankind was created on day six. And the image of God with perfect innocence, a direct reflection of God's holiness. Okay, Genesis 1 and 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed. To you it shall be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life. I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Okay, I find it's just my fascination that in verse 29, God spoke to man through language. He used language to communicate with us. He didn't, it's not like I'm God and you're not, you're so far away from me, you can't possibly talk with me because I'm just too far above you. He's talking to us. He still talks today. And this puts humans way far away from the evolution process, because on man's very first day, God spoke to man through words, to men who had conscious thought. Humanity had the rational ability to reason and to choose, to hear language and to think about what he heard, and then to integrate that communication into his behavior. Why would God make us so special to enable us to react with him like this? Why would God want to talk with us, to get close with us like this? 1 Corinthians 1 and 9 says, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So this is why God made you with these traits, the ability to understand his communication through language. He made us in his image to fellowship with him. God wants to be friends with you. God's not just sitting up there in a chair saying, well, I hope you make it someday. We'll see how you do. He's like, I'm going to be part of your life. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to talk to you. We'll work things out. When you bump into trouble, call on me. I'll talk to you. We'll get through this. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to have fellowship. Let's be friends. He doesn't do that with animals. He does it with us. I really grieve for the people out there who do not value fellowship. They just don't value it. And it shows in how they don't value fellowship. You don't see them in fellowship. We're supposed to assemble in fellowship. Friends, if you're going to fellowship with God, you've got to fellowship with other believers, because that's going to get you ready for what we have ahead. If you expect you're going to do it then, you got to do it now. Fellowship with God and with other believers is exactly what we are created for fellowship. You know what's great is that you are not an accident. I hear some parents say that about their children. Well, you know, they're an accident. We're glad to have them, but they're an accident. No, you're not. You are not an accident. God didn't go, oh, didn't see you coming. What to do with you now? I got to figure this one out. That's not true. You're not an accident. You are not a mistake. You are a planned, ordained creation of God, made in his image, made with purpose. Every person that hears me saying this, you have been created by God, set here, just like he placed the sun and the moon, but you've got a whole lot more favor than that, okay? I know some people out there that are suffering depression. They think their life is worthless, and they don't understand this. You have been put here by God to have fellowship with him. Psalm 139 and 16 says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. This says that God saw you before you were born and scheduled each day of your life before you began to breathe. And every day of it is recorded in his book that he has somewhere. You can't just think you have no purpose, or that you are an accident just because somebody told you you are. God has his hand in this, okay? That's why I always say you are not worthless. You're priceless. God brought you here for a purpose of his own loving reasons here, okay? It's just like how God set up all of creation for man to live on it before man ever existed. God moved heaven and earth into perfect alignment for man to live on it and to fellowship with him. What a great blessing it is to be alive. I'll say that again. Somebody somewhere needs to hear this. What a great blessing it is to be alive. This is such a good day today, isn't it? Today, we still bear the image of God, but that image has been severely twisted. It has been severely scarred. It's been very damaged. It's like I had a truck one time. It was a nice truck. Somebody crashed into me. It was still a truck. But boy, was it messed up. We have an image of God still, but it's been severely messed up. A lot of people think we have lost the image because of sin. We didn't lose it. We still have it. It's just messed up. Needs fixing. Mentally, morally, we've been damaged by and scarred by sin. Mentally, morally, socially, physically, we show the effects of sin. You can look at me for more than a minute and you can find some effect of sin. I've got a skin disease that shows up on my arms. Okay, it's sin in my body. But the good news is that we have Jesus who died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again so that we can be raised up to life along with him. So whenever God redeems someone from sin, somebody comes to belief and they're redeemed from sin, God begins to restore the original image of God back into them by creating a new person in them. He brings us back, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness again. Romans 8:29 says, "For whom God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son." So yes, we have the image of God in sin. We damage that image, but then we have a way to get it back again to the image of Jesus Christ. And I pray that people who are hearing me that haven't given their life to Christ, you need to get that image back fixed. You're driving around in an old beat-up truck that's been T-boned with the door crunched in. You need the image back that it was originally created with. If you've ever wondered why the Satan and his demons, and why people who are under demonic influence, why they hate you so much, it's because as a believer in Jesus, you are being conformed to Jesus' image, and they hate it. They hate the image of God. Demons hate you so much because you have the image of God and they don't like it. They hate God and anything that looks like him. And that's why they're against you so bad. It's really a privilege for demons to hate me as much as they do. And so it's like what we read today. When the earth was void and without form, it was in a state of chaos. It was unsuitable for life. But God moved heaven and earth to set it in just such a right way that man could have life. Likewise, we lost our form. We were in a state of waste. We were in a spiritual state of chaos, in sin. But God sent Jesus to move heaven and earth to make a way for us to be made back into his image so that we could live. I think creation presents us a gospel story here. And that what was once unsuitable for life got set by God so that man could live. I have been in a spiritual state of chaos where I could not live, but God moved everything so that I could live. Colossians 3:9, "Since you have put off the old man with his deeds," which is our old sin nature, "and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge," according to what? According to the image of him who created us. I want that image back. Every day I'm being moved ever closer, more all the time. God is constantly working on me to get me to that image of Christ. I'm not going to reach the full perfection of the image of Christ until he takes me back. We're always a work in progress. Don't ever say you've arrived. I made it. I'm here. Here I am. No, not yet. You're not. We still have a sin nature in this body. We're getting there. But we damaged the image of God that we were created with. But now we can be renewed to the image of Jesus Christ. You see, guys, Jesus has the ability to overcome the darkness of sin because he is light. We saw God say, light, get over here, darkness over here. He divided it. This is this way, that's that way. Jesus overcomes the darkness because he is light. God commanded light into existence before there was any sun, moon, or stars. That's because God himself is light. It's not the sun. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks of New Jerusalem. In heaven, when we get in heaven, it's talked about in Revelation 21:23. It says the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God illuminated it. Where did this original light come from? It was the glory of God. That's great. God said, let there be light, and there was light before there was any stars or before there was any sun or moon, because it was sourced from the glory of God himself. Jesus said in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Again, that is the Lord dividing darkness from light. And he gives man a free will, conscious decision, which way you're going to follow. Which way do you want to be? Because we are all originally in darkness because of sin. You've got to choose to follow the Lord in the light. So again, distinguish darkness from light, just like he had done in Genesis 1. He set them apart as different things. He called them by the different names of day and night so that they would not be intermixed together. Day and night don't happen together. It's one or the other. Friends, our lives as followers of Jesus, we are not to live with darkness and light mixed together. Pick one or the other. We should be able to distinguish spiritual darkness from the light of Jesus' righteousness and set them apart from one another so that we don't mix them together. We should be able to look out the window and say, it is daytime. You should be able to look at your life and go, I'm following the Lord. I'm not going to go this dark way, okay? Just like we can tell by looking at the firmament what it is, people should be able to look at your life and say, it's daytime in Ray's life. I can see light there. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? I got some old friends. I love them dearly. I pray they come around, that some friends of mine that are not saved, but they want me to go out and do dark things. They want me to go play around with darkness. Come on, Ray, let's go to the bar. Come on, Ray. They're always on me to do this. I won't do it. And they get mad at me for it. Oh, you're a goody two-shoe pastor Christian now. I said, no, I just don't want to walk that way anymore. You can't have fellowship with darkness as a believer. You have to make decisions, friends. You've got to decide what you will do and what you will not do. God says, I am dividing this from that. Friends, you've got to look out there and determine what darkness is and what light is and separate them apart from each other, just like God did in Genesis 1. Now, one interesting thing about the moon is that the moon actually does not generate its own light. The moon simply reflects whatever light it gets from the sun. We have no righteousness of our own, but we can reflect the righteousness that we get from Jesus Christ. Any righteousness you see out of me at all, it ain't from Ray Jensen, I'll guarantee you. That all comes from Messiah Jesus reflecting out of me. I didn't do it. If you're blessed by the sermons here at this church, praise God. Don't start saying, oh, Ray is so wonderful. Don't tempt me to accept that, okay? It's a temptation to go, oh, man, I am such a good pastor, ain't I? Now I'm falling into pride. Don't do that to me. Go tell somebody the Lord spoke through God's word today at this church. I'm reflecting. That's all I'm doing. It's not my light. Just like the moon and the sun, the moon doesn't generate its own light. You know, whenever I think of creation, like how we read about the sun, moon, and stars, the next time you see the moon, I'm putting you in a Rayism here because this is what I do. Next time you see the moon, think about the power of God's perfect synchronization that he set in the moon. If you ever see the backside of the moon, please come tell me. Please take a picture of it and come tell me I actually saw it. You're never going to see it. That's God proving his power to us through things we see every day. I want you to remember Psalm 19 and 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. God is trying to talk to us through creation, through the things that have been made. I want you to think of all the work that God did to get a formless void set into just the right way for man to be able to live. Think of all the work that Jesus did to get lost sinners set so that they can live forever. You can see the gospel in the story of Genesis 1. Isn't that incredible? We're going to do communion, and we're going to remember the work that Messiah Jesus did to give us life. He had to deal with a lot of chaos. He had to deal with a lot of disorganization. He had to provide a lot of structure. He had to communicate with us. He had to tell us things. He's telling us things through prayer, through his Holy Spirit, through his word. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all agree to this, that for us to live, work had to be done to get us back into the image that had been so damaged before. And that work that he did was on the cross. It was not easy. He made it easy for you and I. All we have to do is we have to repent and believe. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You got to leave the old man. You got to follow, put on the new self and follow the light of Christ. That's easy for us. But salvation was hard. It was hard work, and it was an astronomically high price to pay for because our sin caused a lot of damage. A lot of damage. I don't see that canopy shell up there anymore. That means God moved a lot of stuff for judgment of sin to make it where we could come to a decision to follow him the way he wants us to. God moved heaven and earth for you and me. And he did the most of that work on the cross where he died for us. You see, sin caused a death penalty, and death has to be paid for by life. That's why blood was needed. Blood counters death, and that's why Jesus spilled his blood. That's why the cross was so barbaric, because sin was so damaging. And above all, he didn't have to do it. He could have said, you know what, you had your shot, you messed up, I'm moving on to another creation, all of you are condemned, I'll make another one, and let's see if they do better. He didn't do that to us, because he set earth separate from all of creation. He had a particular desire for you and I. We were on his mind before the sun and the moon and stars and earth were ever here. He has purpose for you. He had the plan of salvation ready to go before you ever did a thing. That means God is in absolute complete control of everything. Thank God, or I wouldn't be able to sleep at night. Isn't that great? So we're going to do communion now to remember what he did for us that I'm so thankful for. In 1 Corinthians 11 and 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat this bread to remember what he did for us on the cross. Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's drink this to remember what Jesus did for us. Father, I thank you for what you've done for me. I thank you that you thought of this solution for me long before I committed the worst deed I had ever done. Lord, you brought into order all the chaos that was all out of control. You brought it all into patterned perfection. You set it perfectly for man to live on it. Lord, you took my chaos and you ordered it through your son, Jesus, so that I could have that image back again. Lord, when I look at the Genesis account of creation, I see the gospel of how you came for us, how that you changed everything to get it just so that we could live. Thank you, Jesus, for all that work that you didn't have to do. I thank you for the rest of my life with appreciation and obedience and service to you, Lord God, for what you have done for me. Just the fact you came to get me because you want fellowship with your people. Lord, for anybody here or anybody hearing me on the radio that have been believing for a long time that their life is not worth anything, they have been considering taking their own life, I am nothing. Lord, show them from Genesis 1, they are worth everything. All this work that you did, they have purpose, they have hope. And they also have provision because they have you, a provider, Lord God Almighty. Restore to them the joy of salvation. And I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for